This week, we're joined by Stephanie Donahue, a Microsoft MVP and regional director and the president of Pate Group. We talk about identity management and its relationship to the modern IT infrastructure and whether identity is the new firewall.
Okay, everyone, thanks for joining us here again today. We've got Stephanie Donahue, really, really pleased to have her on. We're going to be talking through some aspects of identity security and basically that endpoint slash network security a little bit that has to do with, you know, enterprise security across the board. She's got some great experiences she's going to share with us today. Stephanie, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Sure.
So Stephanie, introduce yourself to the audience. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
Stephanie, do what he said.
Alrighty. All right. Stephanie Donahue. I own a company called Pate Group. We're based in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we do Office 365 consulting. Me personally, I'm a Microsoft Regional Director and MVP. And, you know, I spend a lot of my days with customers, helping them understand how to translate what they do now in kind of the legacy format into what you can do in Office 365. So lots of time with the business, lots of time at the strategy level, just mapping from old processes and old products to doing something new. And identity is a big piece of that right now.
Yep, and we've both worked with Stephanie at different events, but also with different customers over the years, and we know she's got a ton of experience, and so does Pate Group as a whole. Just lots of different kinds of customers all across the country that they deal with all the time. So, perfect person to have on the podcast to talk about all this stuff.
Perfect. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure, Hunter. I don't
know. Yeah, that's right. We demand perfection. No, but it's great. You had a lot of, we had some conversations before this, right? You had a ton of great anecdotes. Again, as one of these conversations where she's like telling us these things and we're like, oh, we should have recorded this. So
we could have done this session like three times over by this point, I think.
Yeah, right. And it's great. And they're good. They're good conversations too. So tell us a little bit about what you've seen with some of your customers, for instance. And I think that's a good starting point, right? When it comes to like identity security, and especially in this stage of digital transformation and COVID times where people are having to make this fast move to the cloud that's been even more accelerated by the things that are happening right now, right?
Yeah, and I think it's pretty daunting still for a lot of IT departments. 365 and Azure is just so vast in terms of what you can do, and such a big transition from managing things on premises. And we really, you run the gamut of what you see and how much experience IT admins have. So by no means do any of the stories today that we talk about, it's not meant to shame anyone. It's just truly everyone's coming to the table and starting from a different place. There's no standard for IT, and there's no standard for the education that it takes to get into this position. And so I think we do have to have a lot of grace for ourselves and each other as we talk through these things, because it's challenging. And, you know, we see everything. One of the most recent stories that it did kind of surprise me. We talked with a group where they were still managing, they didn't have Active Directory. They didn't have any other identity provider at all. They were really just managing access, you know, logging into local desktops and managing access to their file shares just purely based on their location and where they are. So multiple locations across the company. You can imagine their emails are probably attachments of, hey, let me send you a copy of that or a version of this document. And I was like, wow, we're just like, they didn't even understand basic file share permissions, right? And this is still out there. This is something I haven't seen in a while, but again, like, you see everything when you're in consulting, and you know, everybody's got to start somewhere with that conversation, right?
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of being back in the 90s where my first IT job, where we were installing Novell and teaching everyone that, you know, Novell is your identity now. You don't have to log into your computer. You're logging into the whole network. And it was this like mind blown transformation. And we're kind of in that same spot now where, you know, people have been logging into the network for a while, for the most part. And now they're logging into this cloud platform, which has all of these things attached to it. And it's just so interesting to see how that really changes the game for everybody.
Yeah, we're still seeing a lot of people cling to the idea that a VPN is needed, and kind of the concept of, okay, well, I need my firewall, or I need my web. What protection am I putting around this environment?
Right.
And, you know, make helping them make that mindset shift to identity is your new firewall. This is actually your login is what's going to be protecting you, and adding things like multi-factor authentication to that just baseline, and yep. helping them understand why that's a good idea and why VPN isn't always necessarily the best option when you're logging into the cloud like that.
Yeah. And we've dealt with this. I know Jay and I, when we talk to our customers too, you run into these server admins that are really uncomfortable just kind of letting it all go to the cloud. And so you almost become a spokesperson for the cloud itself and the security, like organizations like Microsoft have, you know, invested in behind it, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you have all these layers available in the cloud that you don't have on premises. And so what's funny is that they tell us, well, it's more secure on-prem, so we're going to stay here. But then they ask for all these things, these additional layers of security, like, well, how do I make sure that they don't forward this document if they download it out of SharePoint? How do I make sure they're not forwarding it around outside of the company? Well, you know, 365, you have those kind of policies and settings where, you know, information rights management is an additional install on-prem. If you were dealing with SharePoint, now a lot of that's built in based on your licensing, where it's just there and you just have to configure the policy. And they don't even realize what they're asking for, all the things. Well, why isn't this here? Well, it's not there on-prem, but it's there online in the cloud. And it's like mind-blowing. You're like, oh man, I wish we would have gone to the cloud. Well,
yeah,
plan, have those conversations up front, right? Yeah don't make assumptions.
Yeah, I was saying try to do that with shared drive permissions, right?
It's right. Exactly. Exactly. Good luck.
And even with those networks, I had seen an organization that they were like a regional pharmacy. It was like a grocery chain that had pharmacies in their grocery stores. And we were asking them about how many different user licenses they had for this personal information they had in there when they were talking about their cloud migration. And they were like, they just have one. So they were just all sharing the same network login to all this PII that was across their network. And it was like, listen, like you can't do that. And it goes to show how important, I mean, identity used to be even important back in those days when you're dealing with that network. But when you can build the security around your platform, around individuals login, and ensure that those individual connections are even more secure than a VPN was in the past, right?
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
When you're dealing with things like the SolarWinds hack that we all heard about, you know, security is so important. And they're saying security is important, and that's why we want to stay on premises. And in the same breath telling you, oh, we have 10 people that share an account. You know, it's like, well, how can you be
right.
sure? How can you say that that's more secure than going to the cloud and everybody having their own login and having the audit logs to know exactly what those people are doing? You know, I just think, you know, I think everybody just, they only know what they've been exposed to. And so it's just a big learning curve to know what's available, because it's mind-blowing how much security is available.
Having those conversations with customers can buy, kind of be a, you know, a buzzkill. You know, I mean, that's it.
We gotta start putting a counter on the website every time we throw that out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But that's the deal, right? Because the conversation immediately stops becoming around technology, because they're concerned, they're looking at the technology and they're saying, well, what about this scenario? What about this scenario? And it's like, listen, it doesn't even matter what technology you have right now or where you're going. If you have no plan to train your users or make them understand why this is important, right? It's moot. It's a moot point. And they don't think about it like that, right?
And you said buzzkill. It's true, because especially when you talk to folks in maybe human resources, for example, and their number one priority is the user experience. We keep hearing that.
Yes.
I don't want my users to have to log in and then log in again. And what they mean by that is, I'm logging in once with a password. Now I have to use a multi-factor code or an app. And that's, you know, for them, they're saying that's a negative experience. And especially when you're talking about the first line workers, you know, they're not sitting at a computer all day. They don't necessarily have that comfort level with using additional apps. They deal with retirees on portals, and you know, there's definitely a faction of people that have already left the organization that need to get back in. They're going to struggle to log in when they're not trained up on new technologies. And so for people like that in HR, they do have a valid concern. We really have to balance that request with, you know, how do we protect our data and still be able to make the user experience better? And I think Microsoft's making a lot of good progress in that area.
Yeah, we were talking about things they have for like frontline workers and kiosks. Jay, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask. So Stephanie, talk to us a little bit about what is Microsoft specifically doing to increase that, you know, to decrease that concern, I guess.
Yeah, they're releasing things that aren't just username and password based. So we're starting to see options for SMS sign in, you know, where you just punch in a phone number and it'll go out and send you a code, and then you can get in with the code. We're seeing things like PIN numbers instead of usernames or instead of passwords. So just punching in your code and, you know, doing things like that. Windows Hello, that's another one. Just kind of a face scan so you can get in quickly. So doing things that, you know, your first line workers, those that are kind of on the go, they have very important things going on. And the last thing they want to deal with is their password not working or trying to remember what that password was when they're only logging in once a day or once a week. So being able to have some options out there where they can really use those things. The authenticator app's another one, right? Like just anything you can do to make it easier that'll allow them to log in quickly, gets their information and get out and get on with whatever, you know, other important things they have going on. So lots of options.
So are we finally able to say gone are the days of 30-day passwords with no repeating characters and an upright and a lowercase and a, like, are we finally moving away from the craziness that is passwords to enable security but not destroy your hopes and dreams as you're trying to remember these things?
Have you seen the best practices guidance that says you don't have to have a password reset policy?
Right.
Wow. Doesn't that blow your mind? Like, I've seen the best practices out there that are saying that. Because if you change it too frequently or you make it too complicated, they just write it on a Post-it note and stick it on under their desk. That's not secure either. I think those days of, you know, complicated passwords, they really are kind of disappearing in lieu of better options, more secure options. And I think it's fantastic.
Azure had that study. They were saying that like 70% of password hacks, they know what your password is anyway. It doesn't matter what your password is because they're getting the password. They're finding ways to find the password itself. So it doesn't matter how complicated the password is. It's kind of a misnomer that you can like make it so complicated or change it enough that they won't be able to get it, you know?
Yeah. And having that multi-factor authentication, you know, I have the Authenticator app and I will tell you every holiday, I'm getting multi-factor prompts. And it's like, they know, they wait till you're on vacation and they're hitting that account. And it's, I can't say every holiday, but I feel like it's been more frequent, but it's disturbing. And you go out and you change your password and you do all the right things and it surfaces again. And you're like, but I used a different password and I used a complicated password. And it's just not enough. You really have to have those additional things in place.
And we talked about on our we just did an episode with Liam Cleary about personal security and like not posting, hey, we're out of town this week, right? On social media, things like that. And also keeping your personal information, not just your like business information secure. But that's what's so great about cloud security. Like another whole layer of this on top of what we're talking about with cloud security is exactly what you were mentioning before. And it's this phone app, right? The device security, being able to control device connectivity itself. That's coming to cloud platforms, and it's all built in. It's stuff that you would have had to buy software, install, maintain on a server yourself. And now with Office 365 and Azure, it's like a little switch, right? And it's the same with other collaboration platforms.
And I love the secure score. You don't have to be like uber super duper security person to be able to go in and configure these things. If you run your security score, you can get an idea of where you need to focus, and it will bring things into the picture that maybe you're not licensed for, but it'll tell you, you know, you need, you know, Azure P2 licensing in order to have this functionality. And you can just license the admin be able to go in and make some of these changes. And some of them, you know, it doesn't require a huge cost in order to have a lot more security available. And that wizard will give you everything you need. It walks you through every step of how to make those adjustments. I think that's a game changer because we have a lot of small and mid-market customers that are dealing with this right now, really overwhelming. And, you know, they can just go in, run a wizard, make some changes, and it'll tell them, you know, how their security score is compared to other organizations. And so you have a gauge, right? You're like, okay, well, I'm only at 50%, but I'm still 20% better than most, you know? So at least you're relative. You're like, you're a little worried, but not totally stressed out. So I think that's a really great tool for, especially for new admins when you're trying to get your arms around what's available.
Yeah, I mean, this the platforms like Microsoft 365 are really trying to make it so that security is not just for the big enterprise. It's for everybody, right? They're trying to make these tools easier for everybody to have access to so that your content is secure, whether you are a two-person organization or a 200,000-person organization.
Yeah, and I think easy is the key word there, especially when we start bringing in first-line workers and deskless workers in general. Like, I think I had mentioned to you guys a story about I worked for a nursing organization, and we had a nurse that she had a laptop. It went everywhere with her. She was super frustrated with the laptop, and she brought it in, and she hands it to me, and it's totally busted. She's like, this laptop got hit by a car. And I was like, what? Okay, well, did it fall off the top? Like, you put it on the top and it fell off and you hit it? And she was like, no, I put it under my tire and I backed over it. And we were like, wait, what? And she was not fired. She wasn't. She was one of their best hospice nurses. Hospice nurses have a really, really tough job. And if you make things difficult on them, then that's where things boil over. And you know what they did? They loved her work so much, they gave her a data entry person because they were like, this technology is not working, but we love this hospice nurse and we're going to make her happy. And that's what happens when you don't do enough training, you don't make it easy enough to log in.
That's it.
You have to do these things. Otherwise, that's where you end up. And you don't want to lose good first line workers. Their priorities are not their laptop and their software. So you really have to look at it from that perspective and say, how do we make this super easy on them? Because it's the last thing that they want to worry about in a day.
Well, in that scenario, for any large organization, especially, that's a canary in the coal mine. If you've got this one person that's having this big of a problem, then like, look at the rest of your organization. You know, if you have to hire somebody for data entry for one worker, how much work is not getting done across your organization? And it's just another example why that change management is so important. And like, you've got to make it easier for users to do the right thing with their security. So like on that line, Stephanie, like, let's say I'm an IT admin and I've got my servers and I love them and I'm trying to rely on network security or like my VPN, and you're trying to sell me on the idea of the cloud. I'm sold on all the other concepts, but I'm like, I'm still really worried about the security. This is a scenario that, again, we still are all running across all the time, especially for me. I find it's really those small businesses where they don't have the time and energy to do a lot of research on all the things that are happening and they want those benefits, but like, they're just terrified of it. And like with larger businesses, you can kind of have those conversations, it seems like, but with the small businesses, they're like, no, like, I don't trust it. I've been doing this for 20 years. I don't want to touch that thing unless, you know, and so sell me on identity security over network security as kind of a, just like a definition statement, right? Because I think that it is a big, it doesn't matter what collaboration platform or cloud you're using, right? We talk about things that are really high level a lot of times, Jay and I, and I think that this is high enough that it covers it all, because it doesn't matter if you're using open source, there are identity management systems for that, and that's what they rely upon, right? If you're using Google or Dropbox, it's the same thing. If you're using Microsoft, same thing. They're all focusing on this, and it has proven to be more secure. And before I pop the question over to you, Stephanie, the last thing I'll say is, even if you look at cloud data breaches, they are usually due to human error, not what's going on with the platforms. You know, the best example of this in my mind is the Equifax breach. Was like, they didn't update the security patches on their web web hosting software. That's what that was. It wasn't
yep.
the software itself. It's not the cloud. It's that they didn't do what they were supposed to do to maintain it, right? So Stephanie, personal security. Sell me on identity management and personal security, you know, identity security, excuse me.
So what I would ask you to do is give me a list of your requirements and a list of your pain points. So number one, what are you doing well? What are your baseline requirements to meet what you already have? And then number two, what's not working or what's not available to you? What is a pain point? And then let me map that to what's available in the cloud. Let me map that for your existing requirements. Let me map it to your pain points. Let me show you why it's better. And then let me show you how it's easier for your user. So the combination of those two things with your conversation, showing them that they can effectively replace what they have and make it better and make the user experience better, that's where your win is. So, and if you can do a little ROI in there too, by the way, how many of us are paying for additional platform security, single sign-on, you know, additional appliances? We have like 8 layers of things in there. Some of it's for Exchange, some of it's for your identity login. Like there's a bunch of ROI in there too. So number one, if you can sell the security folks on it, you're good there. And then number two, if you can find your ROI, you'll find the budget to move it over.
Yeah. And all those benefits are everything that we've been talking about to this point, right? It's like connect from anywhere, mobile devices, right? The MFA is easier than having to remember a complicated password and reset it every 30 days and all that stuff, right? It all ties in together. That's great.
Well, how many people are running Teams over their VPN right now because they don't have it set up right? Teams is choking. Find a slow death. And then we hear, you know, complaints.
And then the users.
It's awful. It's slow. Conference calls are terrible. We have to stay off the video, you know. And it's all so because they're trying to run it through a VPN. It's like, oh my gosh, guys, we can do this better. We can do this better.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this way.
It's funny. I think Teams combined with the identity capabilities coming out of Microsoft over the last couple of years have really changed the government view on how to handle the cloud. Because even up until 2020, I would say most federal agencies were really focused on, we have to have that cloud access point. We have to have, everybody has to connect in through this VPN-like thing in order to connect to Office 365. And it's like, wait, in order to connect to what? Office 365. The thing that is on like 20 different data centers across the country, you want everyone to go through the same point to access that. And it was for the longest time, that was an absolute must. And then when the pandemic hit and everyone started seeing how much that single point of failure choked their ability to do work. Okay, I guess we'll have the conversation. So what is there from security and compliance, and what is the identity capabilities, and how are we able to secure content? And so I think, you know, you started at the beginning of this, identity is the new firewall, the new VPN. I really like what that means. And I really hope that we hear that more in the coming years, because I think that's exactly the right point, which is, you know, if you have a closed network and you're letting people into that closed network, let's talk about firewall. Okay. But you're talking about an open network of data centers across the globe, and then you're requiring people to go in through this single point of failure rather than taking advantage of, and I'm not saying rather than lowering your security capability, but rather than taking advantage of the security capabilities that come with your platform. I mean, you're not just missing the boat, you're making it harder for everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that goes across the board for these platforms and user management, like identity management, is making sure that the properties of those users are well maintained and like doing audits on that information over time, making sure you get rid of your old users. And, you know, if nothing else, to delete those licenses, right? And again, it doesn't matter if it's Microsoft or Google or Slack or whatever you're doing, it applies. It's like you need to trim it. Because in all these, and I know this, I've got the Google admin certificate. I also do Microsoft 365 stuff. In both instances, a lot of what they're doing is dependent upon those user properties, right? Trimming down to the way the security works and everything. So it's really, really important as a strategy that you incorporate that. Too many organizations just look at it and they're like, we're not doing that. It's too much and it's not that important, but it is. It really is.
It, It is, and it's all sitting in another system right now. So it's like, you know, the work days of the world, the HR systems, Bamboo HR, that's where all that profile. So you have it. Someone's updating it. It's a matter of piping it into Azure AD, which, by the way, I'm going to throw a little nugget in here about Microsoft Viva. I think Viva's coming for that HR market. And so the types of things, the learning modules, you know, the connections, bringing everyone into a single communications platform. Like, I think that's the angle Microsoft's taking with Viva. And I would love, love, love for this to be our primary reason to be able to move off of a separate third-party HR system and keep all of that profile information up to date in Azure AD, which is going to strengthen our security profile and our identities, because we can do a lot from, you know, dynamic access. I mean, there's a whole other conversation there that you can look at. So I think that's a really interesting space to keep an eye on.
Well, I mean, I have this conversation all the time. So we do a lot of governance work, and a lot of governance is security work. And when we're talking about how to secure your workspaces and how to make sure only the right people can access those workspaces, there's only so much you can do by named accounts. It requires you to know exactly who they are, exactly what they should be doing, and where they should be doing it. But if you can have that information that we're talking about in their active, in their identity, which in Microsoft is Azure Active Directory, if you can have that information there, now you can do things dynamically based on their role, based on their level, based on their capabilities. There are so many things that you can look at to perform that security. And here we are now, identity being the firewall, not just for the network, but now for the workspace, now for the file. You're really getting that ability to lock down because you spent some time understanding what identity means and how to use it.
You know, and I think like 2 years ago, we would have said, you know, or somebody pitching Microsoft or any of these platforms would have said, man, yeah, that's so cool. You can kind of tailor the way the user's interacting with the environment by tweaking out their user properties. Same thing with Google. And now, after everything that's happened over the past 2 or 3 years, it's like, no, this is a must now. This is not like a good to have. This is like how security is done in the cloud. And you got to be doing it, because if you ain't, then you're gonna be missing out. And the organizations that are saying, oh, we'll just put it off, it's another project, they're the ones that in 2 years are going to be forced to stop everything and clean it up, just like a content clean was happening before those migrations, before everybody went to the cloud. And this is the next step. So I really think
it's never important until it's too late.
Until it's too
late.
And
then you're reacting, right? Let's be proactive, not reactive.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. So Stephanie, yeah. To kind of like to bring it all back together.
Stephanie.
I'm going to cut him off. Like, can I mute him? Can I hang him up? Like, just we'll just finish the two of us. Yeah, right. So I think using that phrase for me, using that phrase of identity as the new firewall is kind of like the big aha moment for this conversation. If you had to wrap this conversation up with a nice little bow for people to take back to their management, to their security, what do you think your key takeaway here is?
I think the key takeaway is that if you are still someone who's saying on-premise safer, I think you need to be looking at what's available and doing some research, some education, talk to people, see what you can learn. And if you're someone who's like, I hadn't really thought of these things and, you know, I'm ready to make that transition. Definitely, you know, again, go get connected with people who can help you out. They can get you there faster. Our consulting firm is one option, but there's plenty of options out there, right?
There's group, lots PAIT of learning. Group, yeah. Stephanie
PaitGroup.com. Yes. Yeah, but you know, there's a lot out there. I know it's hard to get your arms around, but you know, listening to podcasts like yours, I think there's a lot of avenues for getting up to speed on this stuff. And I think that's the name of the game. Learn what's out there and stay up to date, because you definitely don't want to be caught with someone who doesn't have the right tools at hand when they're absolutely available and they're for the taking.
Awesome. Thank you. Hunter, you got any last words?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Great stories, great use cases and anecdotes as always. And we hope to have you back again sometime, but we really appreciate your time and exploring this conversation with us. So take care, and we'll see you again sometime.
Thanks for having me, guys.